I was at a play at the National Theatre with the playwright Thomas Kilroy, Brian Friel wrote. We walked across the Waterloo Bridge and up the Strand. It was about 11:30 at night, and there were homeless people sleeping in the doorways. Tom said, "If you talk to those people, I'm sure many of them are Irish." And I said, "I had two aunts who I think ended up something like that." He said, "Why don't you write about that?" So that's how it began. Backward. From such a casual conversation was the genesis of the play Dancing at Lunasa born. The play would eventually conquer both the West End and Broadway with top honours. Accepting the Olivier Award for Best Play in London, the notoriously media-shy Friel quoted author Graham Greene saying, "Success is the postponement of failure," before thanking the Abbey Theatre for its luminous production of the play, and that was it. The Tony Award for Best Play was somewhat overshadowed by Hollywood actor Michael Douglas going top-heavy on the phonetics of how to pronounce Lunasa. One would have thought the play was set at the Kennedy Space Center rather than Ballybeg, as he bellowed the words, "Dancing at Lunasa," announcing the winner. No, the pinnacle of success and enjoyment for Friel of this great play came when the Luminous Productions original cast agreed to regroup with minimum rehearsal time and to stage the play in the comprehensive school in Glenties, which sits some 200 metres away from the Laurels, being the house where the events of the play took place. The occasion was the traditional Sunday night opening of the 1991 Patrick McGill Summer School. Brian Friel addressed the audience before the curtain rose to say he was both as nervous as a kitten, but proud of this extraordinary happening taking place in the county he called home. "I was lucky enough to get one of the packed out seats and was conscious that this was a unique milestone in the playwright's career. Indeed, everyone lucky enough to get a ticket was fully aware that we were witnessing a unique event." As the curtain rose, the buzz in the air was palpable. "I don't think I've experienced anything quite like it in a lifetime of enjoying theatre." The cast did not disappoint, and they rightly deserved a standing ovation for a perfectly pitched performance as Gerard McSorley's final speech lingered in the air. In that moment, we cried at the poignancy of it, but laughed and applauded at the accomplishment of such a skilled production and of a master storyteller, honouring those five brave Glenties women with words of love and tenderness. Catherine Byrne, who played Chris, tells us how she recalls the famous play Coming Home.
"My name is Catherine Byrne, and I played Chrissy in the original production of Dancing at Lunasa. We played in the Abbey and the National Theatre, and we went to the West End and we went to Broadway. It was a beautiful end when we were asked to go to Glenties and play in Brian's hometown. You can have an opening night in the Abbey or the West End or Broadway. And it is exciting, of course it is. It's glitzy. But nothing beats going to the author's town and seeing him and everyone that knew him. I mean, there were people there that knew him and knew his family and knew his sister. And you'd go into a little shop. I mean, it's such a lovely, it's actually one little street, really. So everybody knew him and everybody knew, you weren't sure how people felt about his sisters. You know, they all had different notions about this sister or that sister. I mean, it was so personal because when you're on Broadway, you know, you're doing this show and it's fantastic and everyone loves it. But I mean, to go to a tiny town in Ireland and play, and it's so relevant and so touching for the author and his family, that must have been. But it was, and for us to do it for him. Sure, we'd have done anything for him. He was great, you know. I mean, he gave us that extraordinary opportunity. So it was a joy. And I'm so glad now we did it. You know, at the time, you always think, oh, that was lovely. That was great. I'm glad we did it. But now that Brian's not with us anymore, isn't it fantastic we did that and he had such a nice time? It was an extraordinary event because we arrived in the hotel really not knowing how the day was going to go. No costumes, no set. And everyone in the town helped us to get, you know, bales of hay for the stage, chairs. A lovely woman, actually, I had to iron in the first act. And a lovely woman in the town gave me an iron, one of those old irons you put on the range to heat. So I brought that up to town and she gave me a hanky. She asked me, did I want loads of laundry? But of course, it wasn't a real iron, so I didn't. So what I did all night was I ironed this little hanky. I folded it. I put it to one side. Then I shook it out and then I ironed it again, folded it and put it aside. And nobody noticed that I was just ironing the same hanky. And the same went for, which I thought was the, I thought it was a lovely story, and it showed how absorbed the audience and in fact the actors were. Anita Reeves was a big smoker during Dancing at Lunasa, and she had given up cigarettes. And as all smokers know, if you smoke one or two cigarettes, you're back onto them again. So she decided she didn't want to do that, but she didn't say anything to anyone. She had a little packet of wild woolbines, and every time she took a cigarette out, she put it in her mouth, she'd strike a match, and she'd take a big pull of the cigarette and blow out the smoke and make a kind of a, oh, I love, you know, wild woodbine sound. But in fact, at the end of the show, we realised she hadn't lit one cigarette. And nobody in the audience, and not an actor, Brian didn't notice. And there's an old smoker. You think it was constantly smoking. So, which I thought showed just how spellbound everybody was in the audience. And a very renowned audience we had. We had Brian and Anne and some of Brian's family. And we had John Hume and Pat, Seamus Heaney and Mary, and our president, Micheál Higgins, and his wife. And it was wonderful. And then billions of people, it seems, the whole town. I don't think there must have been anybody left in a kitchen or a living room in Glenties. But it was extraordinary. And then after the show, there was lots of cheering and clapping. And then we walked down the town back to the hotel, and everybody left the hall with us. I mean, it was a unique experience. There's no question. And I'm sure there's people in Glenties that remember that, have very fond memories. And I know Brian loved it. I'm sure Anne Friel has lovely memories of it too. Yes, when I'd heard, he said he was as nervous as kittens. I think we just laughed at him, you know. He could be very shy and nervous. He wasn't a man to put himself out in front. But I suppose they made him say his speech that night. I think he was very proud of that production. I think Patrick and Joe, the look and the production, I think they gave him the romantic production that he wanted. You know, lots of people have done it since. And it could be a very dark play. You know, you could make it really dark. But actually, that's not what Brian wanted. I think he loved the poppy and the cornfield. And it was a romantic. And the end and the corn and the people. I think it was a beautiful production. And I've seen a few. Yes, we went to the house. We were brought out to the house. Was it the day before or the next day? And we saw the loft. You know, the loft where Jerry Evans had, that Kate had sent Jerry Evans to sleep. And it was fascinating. Oh, my God. I mean, it was really strange. Because, you know, you all heard of Ballybeg and Ballybeg, and we'd all seen Philadelphia, and it'd always be in Ballybeg. But you were there, and it was kind of wild. And because Donegal is, you know, it is so wild. And once you go out, you know, beyond, it was extraordinary. It was lovely. And he was with us, and he talked us through it. But, you know, he's kind of shy about talking about things like that. We didn't all go, oh, look, was that so-and-so? Oh, don't, you know, he didn't want to be talking about that. But it was a great experience, I must say. I can't believe it's 30 years ago. Oh, my God. Joe Mulholland. Well, I mean, Joe must have gone to Knoll, I presume, because the Abbey, I suppose, had the rights. I don't understand the logistics of all of that. But we were phoned. Maybe the Abbey phoned us. And then Joe must have phoned us and spoken to us all. We weren't quite sure who was going to be available because it was quite a while afterwards, I remember. And we were all wondering, God, I can't remember the lines. Because when you finish a play, it's like you flush your brain of all those lines. But I had been doing that for on and off for 2 years. And really, once we started to run it that afternoon, I mean, we'd all had to look at it at home to try and renew it. But once we started to run it, it just came back. And that's how beautifully it's written. I mean, it's a magical play, and it's really unlike any of the other plays. It's such a personal play. I'm not sure there's personal things in all his plays. I don't know. But that was so personal. And he was a long time writing it, so that it's kind of perfect in a way. And I always remember that thinking, I mean, it affected audiences in Dublin, it affected audience in London. And then in New York, they went completely mental. When we did the dance, the big dance, every solitary night that got a standing ovation. And we had to kind of pause and walk around until they saw every night. We'd come up and say, oh, there's going to be one night when it's not. Every solitary night. We were there for 6 months, 8 shows a week. Every solitary night. Every show was full. I mean, it was incredible. And I remember Noel, when we arrived in New York, Noel brought us down because it was in lights, dancing at Lunas with Brian Friel. And he said, you know, you're not in lights. The important person is in lights. He quickly put us in our place. But I mean, it was an extraordinary event in all our lives. I mean, I had never been to New York, let alone on Broadway. So it was an extraordinary event in my life. It was the highlight, I suppose, of your career. That, how often does that happen? You get a beautiful play, and then it's this extraordinary success. I mean, it was unbelievable. People would stop you in the street. I mean, famously, a woman stopped me in the street, and she saw me, and she said, I had my son Jack with me. They were over visiting. And she said, oh, there you are. Hello. And this is your little boy. I mean, she thought she saw a little boy on stage. Maybe people did think there was a little boy on stage. Isn't it extraordinary? But that's the magic of theatre.